You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams live here in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, we got the state, we got the national. We're covering down on all the issues. Solid conservative, and like the dude just said, yes, we are just plain right. Well, it's Monday. Monday all day long, y'all, but it's still Monday, good day, but it's Monday, 2:06 p.m. Well, listen, you know, I'm watching this weekend. I think part of what triggered this is this past weekend, I couldn't help but notice the Biden administration, you know, once again, the Biden family weekend in Delaware on the beach. I mean, my gosh, has he spent a weekend at the White House? I don't know. How does he justify this? How does Air Force One, with all of its carbon footprint, if you will, just take off and do the short 20-minute hop over again to Delaware every single week? This time he took the whole family. And then I'm watching as he goes bike riding down the beach. And you can see in the background as Secret Service was holding tourists back and making sure they stay out of the way so the president can just ride down the beach. You know, at some point you have to look at it and go, you have a complete misunderstanding of what you do to other people when you show up. Because I get it. He's got to go places and do things, and he can't be just restricted to his own, you know, stay in your room kind of thing. But nonetheless, what we're looking at here is a president that seems to have an administration that does not have its act together and does not even know really what it means to have an act together. Well, have you ever watched an organization and found yourself wondering if anyone there had an idea how to herd cats? I mean, how do you take a bunch of differing opinions, different skill sets, widely different personalities, and get them all to ride for the same brand? And oh, by the way, ride in the same direction. Now, make no mistake, every single organization, every single team is made up of different folks with different backgrounds and oftentimes with differing opinions. So how do you harness all those differences to create an organization that can then accomplish the mission set before them? I'll be honest with you, like many of you, I'm looking daily at the level of discord, the lack of consistent messaging, and the very questionable decisions made by the Biden administration, and I believe that we are watching and experiencing a level of dysfunction unlike anything many of us have ever seen. Now, presidential administrations are unique animals. I get it. They're not built over time. They don't have a great deal of legacy leadership. There's a short period of time between the election, where the hopes and dreams of what is to be gets put together, and on the same day, everyone walks into work and turns on the lights in their new offices. That's kind of a weird deal. Support staff is often the same, and some protocols and procedures may have been codified, but unless the incoming administration has been effectively doing their due diligence well before winning the election, then the fact is, they're playing catch-up, and they're putting together an entire organization in record time and hoping for the best. And for that very reason, among others, there is no wisdom in choosing those people to fill key roles on the basis of some political payback or for the appearances of breaking some kind of glass ceiling or checking a demographic box. In that short amount of time, you've got to reach out and make sure that you find all the right folks for all the right jobs in order to keep the ship moving in the right direction. And there absolutely must be an answer person at the top who can herd the cats. And right now, I'll be honest with you, right now, there's a real sense that someone else is pulling the strings in D.C. other than the guy who holds the office. But that can only go so far. At some point, even if he is detached or disoriented, the person in the office of the presidency has to be able to put a signature on something and then defend it effectively to the general public. You see, you can only hide organizational dysfunction so long before the team becomes obviously and very apparently incapable of producing real results because the general public has lost faith in them. Now, I had the honor some years ago to command an infantry battalion. It was truly one of the highlights of my career. When I took command, I issued what is often referred to as my command philosophy. It's an actual document formatted in Army style as a memorandum for record to all of my subordinate commanders, senior NCOs, troop leaders, all the way down to the squad level. It's a document that many commanders put together, and it is basically a recounting of the style, the preferences, the do's and don'ts, and the expectations that sum up the manner in which the commander intends to lead the unit. So I met with my staff and leadership within about an hour of taking the guide on and assuming command, and I outlined it for them, my command philosophy, and gave everyone a copy. But it was not something that I threw together just for that occasion. It was a summation of lessons learned the hard way over years spent serving and leading in a variety of capacities, both civilian and military. Now, I won't bore you with all the details. Suffice to say, there were three key points that I told them I wanted to see in our organization. Three things that if they're not all there, then it would mean that we're not fully functioning. It's possible to get some things done with only one of those three. It's likely you can even expect the organization to be viewed as moderately successful at times with two of the three. But in my experience, an organization will never be able to fully operate with optimal skill and top-line results without all three. I even had it posted on the wall of my team rooms during deployments that the goal of the organization, here they are, the three things. The goal of the organization is to be proficient, effective, and cohesive. Those are the three things. If those three things are clicked into place and kept there by strong leadership, then the organization will succeed against stacked odds. Okay. Proficient, effective, and cohesive. Here's how I break them down. Proficiency, well, that equates to the individual having the necessary skills for their respective positions. There's no room for feel-good appointments or political payback. An organization needs its members to know their role, to have the right level of training and education. Every member unit should strive to become the most qualified and knowledgeable person at their particular assignment. It is common among the members of any organization to have those like go-to individuals, you know, the ones without whom you cannot survive. But it's far less common for it to all coalesce so that everybody has a high level of proficiency, so much so that even the whole organization becomes a go-to organization because they took the time to recruit and install the most proficient members they could find. All right, that's proficiency. But then the second piece is effectiveness. Well, first of all, proficiency and effectiveness are not the same thing. An individual can be both the most qualified and least effective member of any team. Effectiveness combines proficiency with a work ethic and an attitude. Do what's right because it's right. Do what is right in a timely manner. Train your subordinates to do the same. Take the skill sets you've been given and utilize them with a leaning forward mentality. In everything that an individual does, whether it be, you know, processing pay or qualifying with a weapon or managing an office or setting energy policy, a professional-grade effort to ensure the maximum level of skill is employed at every single turn. That's taking proficiency and making it effective. But there's still one more. Cohesiveness. You see, the quickest way to undo proficiency and effectiveness is for members of a team to act like solo artists. Even the finest legacy organization can come unraveled if the members cannot trust each other, or they're always looking out for themselves, or they don't uphold their end of the assignment. A leader should remind those that they lead regularly of the legacy that they're a part of. Remind others outside the organization who they are. Subordinate leaders should likewise take care of their folks at all times and put them first on an agenda. And if leaders build that brand and build that esprit de corps, they exhort folks to be the best because they're part of the best, then great things will happen. Every single member of an organization should be proud of it. Proficient, effective, cohesive. Ask yourself next time the Biden administration puts out a position or takes a stance or has its people making the rounds on the Sunday talk circuit or creates a result that we can all see and feel and have to live with. Does it seem like it's coming from a team that is proficient and effective and cohesive? Because right now, I don't feel that way. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. All right, man. Boomer, take us to the break. Yeah, so there it is, just some lessons learned the hard way over time. You can have an organization with proficient people in it and still not be effective. You can have an organization that's proficient and effective, but they don't get along, they can't work together, and so they're still not humming. But when you get all three put in place, you have something that does not look like what we see in the Biden administration right now. Just saying, proficient, effective, and cohesive. Big doings. Get all three in place, you would conquer the world. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More to come. Y'all stay tuned.